The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 9:10 p.m., November 20th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
K-Voice of Resistance!
Hello, thank you for listening to K-Voice of Resistance. That's the letter K, Voice of Resistance. I am your host, Kelly. It is almost Thanksgiving. And it's time, my friends. It is time to reach out and make a connection with our employees. Congress is off work and home for the Thanksgiving break, and they will have plenty of time to receive calls, read messages, and some may even hold a town hall.
Maybe.
Show them you care and let them know your thoughts. Democracy depends on it. There are many, many things worth calling on, so I'm suggesting maybe call every day. Be it the tax bill, these terrible judicial nominees, or the following. What if your web pages loaded one word at a time? I have talked a lot about net neutrality, and the time has come. We are down to the wire. The mild-looking supervillain, Ajit Pai, has decided to use the cover of Thanksgiving, while we are distracted, to release his plan to plunge our free and open internet into a vice of pay-for-play traffic, where some sites will move fast and some slow, depending on the ideology of the companies, money, and, I don't know,
whatever else.
The FCC is about to announce a vote to slash net neutrality rules, allowing ISPs like Verizon to block apps, slow websites, and charge fees to control what you see and do online. Once they announce the vote, it is hard to stop. But if we flood them with calls now, Congress can stop the vote. The FCC is expected to drop its new plan on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. The rules could be voted on by mid-December, leaving the door open for internet providers to begin manipulating traffic. Congress must speak up now against the gutting of free speech and consumer protections. Internet users scored a significant victory in 2014 when the FCC installed protections for net neutrality and the open internet. Net neutrality allows all users to have equal access to everything available on the internet and prevents internet service providers, ISPs, into cable television, creating fast and slow speeds for sites of their choosing, and charging consumers premium prices for upgraded access. Without net neutrality, small businesses, low-income individuals, and much of rural America would lose access to affordable, reasonably fast internet service. The four major ISPs, Comcast, Time Warner Cable, Verizon, and AT&T, have been lobbying against the 2014 net neutrality regulations, frustrated by the constraints placed on their ability to profit from those who need their services the most. They have specifically targeted the classification of ISPs as Title II services, a category that requires more strict federal oversight. In response to their lobbying efforts, Ajit Pai has pledged to roll back these net neutrality protections.
Ajit Pai, remember? Used to work for Verizon.
With the softer Title I classification and will allow ISPs to instead make voluntary, unforeseeable commitments that they will maintain an open internet.
Which is laughable on its face.
Congress needs to know that net neutrality is not up for debate and the open internet must be preserved. Ajit Pai could give a crap about the overwhelming, nearly unanimous opposition to his plans. And I mean it. From Alex Jones to Google to Facebook, the ACLU, Pornhub, crab diving, Airbnb, Netflix, Alternet, progressives, conservatives, quacks, statesmen. This issue is the great unifier. This is an issue that will affect your life. It will. So, we have a call to action.
Call to action.
Call to action.
Call to actions.
Calls to actions.
Call to action.
Call 202-225-3121. Get in touch with your House and your Senate representatives. Or better yet, go to battleforthenet.com. Enter your phone number, and they will call you. An automated voice will walk you through what to say and connect you to each of your representatives. They make it super easy.
It took me like 3 minutes.
So far, as of Monday night, they have logged 238,624 calls. Add your voice to this. It feels good to have done something. And for no other reason, do it for that.
Hey,
Yeah. My family's from Puerto Rico, the tropical destination, where you can spend your Washingtons, the spot where you vacation, a commonwealth with not a lot
of... Protesters marched on Washington's National Mall on Sunday morning, trying to draw attention to the situation in hurricane-stricken Puerto Rico. The Unity Puerto Rico March featured politicians, and Lin-Manuel Miranda was there. His agenda is to turn a spotlight on the devastated island territory and to work to update the 1920s asshole law called the Jones Act that mandates that only American ships may distribute goods among domestic ports.
Your citizens are suffering. Stop the bleeding. Stop the loss. Help Puerto Rico. It's just 100 miles across. Thank you.
So on this episode, before the holiday, I wanted to highlight the news beneath the headlines and talk about a few things that we might have missed in the chaos of the ununited states of Trumpistan. And a good resource, if you guys want to check out the headlines every week that the news media may be missing because they get hung up on their one or two topics and that's all they ever talk about, check out Amy Skizzend on Medium. She highlights some great stories. Here is Amy Skizzend.
Really isn't Democrat versus Republican. We're talking about saving our democracy versus becoming an authoritarian state. There's so much chaos, so much volume of change that we're starting to normalize each week things that were unthinkable before November. The common threads you start to see are kleptocracy and sort of this irreverence around it, that he's always testing new boundaries to how much he can get away with. But the big theme that I always kind of point back to is an authoritarian theme. So my concern is our country is shifting away from democracy. I don't think Trump really cares about passing legislation. I think he cares about enriching himself and staying in power. The longer he stays in power, the longer our road is going to be back to democracy and normalcy. We can already see the institution as we know it. Things are fading and changing dramatically. And what concerns me when I look at the early weeks, again, is week by week, what we've already accepted as normal.
So the following both came from her and from my tours of the internet. First, this is a reminder that Donald has not yet imposed the sanctions that Congress imposed on Russia in July. Instead, like the good little lapdog he is, he wants to have Russia in a friendly posture, as he says.
Resist.
After he sided with Putin over U.S. intelligence on Russian interference and ex-intelligence chiefs, James Clapper and John Brennan said Donald is being played by Putin.
Resist.
Here at home, injustices are rampant. Despite having no criminal record, a 50-year-old Michigan woman, Zaharda Purovic, who lived in the U.S. for 30 years, worked, paid taxes, and raised her three children here, was deported to Montenegro. Meanwhile, Seattle Times reported on a Pacific county which voted for President Vitamin C fascist, but now laments a spike in the deportations of their neighbors. There have been 28 ICE arrests this year so far in their small county, up from 8 last year and 0 in the many years before. Well, that is just a small share of the roughly 3,100 ICE arrests overseen by its regional office in Seattle, which covers Washington, Oregon, and Alaska. In a county of small, close-knit communities, Long Beach population is only 1,400, is one of the largest. It is noticed when someone goes missing. The number is magnified by those who have moved, gone into hiding, and followed family members after deportation. People have lost neighbors, schools, and have lost students and businesses that have lost employees. Long Beach Pacific County Police Chief Flint Wright describes himself as pretty conservative. I mean, the guy has a picture of Ronald Reagan hanging in his office, along with photos of John Wayne, and, of course, he voted for Herr Trump. Mostly because he wanted Donald to save them from terrorists by securing the border. Donald was just spouting lies about deporting only criminals, and so many Americans bought into this BS hook, line, and sinker. Then came the July arrest of Mario Rodriguez by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Rodriguez, whose visa had expired, had lived in the area for more than a dozen years. He had worked in bilingual education and periodically tipped police to trouble spots. The chief described Rodriguez as pro-law enforcement, and anybody would like to have him as a neighbor. The chief couldn't believe sending him back to Mexico would do anybody any good. Also, The county gets much of its money from the fishing industry, and there they are encountering problems as well. They explain that it is not that only immigrants are applying. Citizens are applying too, but the immigrants are the only ones who stick the job out. The industry, which is mostly small businesses, already suffered from a labor shortage, and now losing key employees is creating a crisis. Another Republican in the county, Nan Mallon, said, quote, "Sure, people want to see a wall built. They want sanity in immigration. But the way ICE is carrying out Trump's policy locally, none of the Republicans I talk to are happy. We shouldn't be ripping families apart. It seems very Gestapo." Unquote. The Times reports in Long Beach, Culbertson Park, as after-school football practice got started, 10-year-old Danner Walters broke into tears talking about his friend Joel. A week before Joel left for Mexico, his mom and siblings were to join his dad, who had been deported months before. Danner said, quote, "We've been best of friends since kindergarten," unquote. They ate lunch together every day with schoolmate Dominic Bautista. Dominic's mom called them the Three Amigos. The boys had a two-day sleepover to say goodbye, and they posted pictures for the last time together on Instagram with hearts and sad-faced emojis. Danner's mom said that it had been really hard. As far as her son and his friends are concerned, Joel was just one of them, she said. "Other kids are confused too," said the mom. She had a tough time explaining why students were disappearing. About 20 in the Ocean Beach School District this year, according to the superintendent, Jenny Reisner, and three of five moms who made up every advisory committee on bilingual and migrant students. "Sometimes bad things happen to good people," she would say.
Resist.
And then there were problems with DACA last week. The New York Times reported, due to the post office unusually long lines of delivering DACA applications, including ones sent by certified mail, the Trump regime has rejected 4,000 late DACA renewal applications, some of which are sitting in mailboxes. A lawsuit alleges that USCIS is being stricter than usual and arbitrarily denying applications. The good news is on Thursday, in a reversal, acting DHS Director Elaine Duke instructed the immigration agency to allow applicants to resubmit their paperwork if they have proof that they mailed their renewal on time.
Resist.
And the San Francisco Chronicle reported that Donald's regime plans to stop granting work permits to spouses of H-1B visa holders, overturning a 2015 rule. Last year, 100,000 spouses and children of H-1B visa holders came to the U.S.
Resist.
And then, this story. So, the Department of Homeland Security plans to screen immigrants and visa applicants with predictive extreme vetting software over the summer. The AP explained, quote, "DHS published a statement of objectives for a system that would use computer algorithms to scan social media and other material in order to automatically flag undesirable entrants and to continuously scan the activities of those allowed into the U.S. Unquote. The project, dubbed the Extreme Vetting Initiative, would use artificial intelligence, AI, to help determine whether an immigrant intends to commit criminal or terrorist acts, or is more likely to become a positively contributing member of society," unquote. Well, there's a big problem with this plan. Besides the fact that it is completely outrageous, on Thursday, an alliance of 54 computer scientists, engineers, mathematicians, and other experts in automated decision-making sent a letter to the Department of Homeland Security expressing, quote, "grave concerns regarding the Immigration and Customs Enforcement's ICE proposed extreme vetting initiative. Simply put, no computational methods can provide reliable or objective assessments of the traits that ICE seeks to measure. In all likelihood, the proposed system would be inaccurate and biased," unquote. Also on Thursday, a coalition of civil rights groups launched a petition urging IBM to avoid working on the program.
Resist.
And the Republicans of Pacific County are not the only conservatives frustrated with Donald's policies. After 9 months of trusting Donald to protect them for no other reason than they lived in pro-Trump states, farming groups are moving to fight withdraw from NAFTA, saying that the move would be a disaster for farmers. They had believed that Donald's administration would reach a settlement agreement on other aspects of NAFTA while leaving the agricultural trade alone. What are these people thinking?
Resist.
In other news, the University of South Carolina women's basketball team declined an invitation from Trump to celebrate their 2017 NCAA championship at the White House.
Resist.
On Wednesday, Richard Cordray announced that he would step down as head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, an agency created by Senator Elizabeth Warren after the 2008 financial crisis. Republicans, of course, have taken steps under the Orange Destroyer to dismantle the agency because Republicans don't believe that consumers should be protected. Now Donald is expected to nominate Mick Mulvaney.
Ugh.
Remember him?
We can't spend money on programs just because they sound good. And great, Meals on Wheels sounds great. Again, that's a state decision to fund that particular portion to it, to take the federal money and give it to the states and say, look, we want to give you money for programs that don't work. I can't defend that anymore.
So he will be the new head of the CFPB, an agency which Mulvaney said he wanted to kill. Mulvaney will not require confirmation since he is serving as White House budget director.
Resist.
Jamie Johnson, a Trump DHS appointee, resigned after CNN uncovered tapes of his radio show in which he claimed blacks turned cities into slums and Islam's only contribution to society was, quote, oil and dead bodies, unquote.
What a load of crappy crap crap.
Resist.
Wednesday, a bipartisan group of senators wrote a letter to Rex Tillerson expressing deep reservations about the lack of staffing, which threatens to undermine the long-term health and effectiveness of U.S. diplomacy. Bipartisan. How about that?
Resist.
So, touching base with the conservative takeover of our media.
Sunday mornings on Sinclair Broadcast Group TV stations.
The FCC repealed a 1970s rule put in place to ensure a diversity of voices and opinions by prohibiting ownership of a newspaper and TV station in the same market. Donald's ally, Sinclair, would be the biggest beneficiary of this rule change.
Resist.
At least on Wednesday, 13 Senate Democrats called for the FCC Inspector General to open an investigation into potential quid pro quo between FCC Chair Ajit Pai, the Trump regime, and Sinclair Broadcasting. Maybe something will come out of this? Maybe? I don't know.
Resist.
The Koch brothers provided $500 million equity investments in Meredith bid for Time, potentially moving another major media company into the hands of conservative billionaires.
We're screwed, guys!
Resist.
White House lawyer Ty Cobb said the OGE and tax firm are working on a mechanism for Donald to contribute to staffers' legal bills, raising ethical concerns that Donald is doing this simply to influence staffer testimony.
Resist.
On Monday morning, the WAPA released a list of 30 known times the Trump campaign was in contact with Russians during the campaign.
Resist.
Also, as of November 15th, the Washington Post said that over the 298 days since Donald had entered the White House up to that point, he had made 1,628 false or misleading claims. Chew on that for a minute. The president often repeats the same false claims. He said 60 times that Obamacare is dying or essentially dead.
Not true.
55 times that he has claimed credit for business investments and job announcements.
That had nothing to do with him.
He's claimed on 40 occasions that the Republican tax plan will be the biggest cut in history.
It would not. It would be the eighth biggest.
And 50 times he's claimed that companies in the U.S. pay the highest corporate taxes. Again.
This is just not true.
We could keep going. He's a lying jackass.
Resist.
On Monday, the Russian state-funded RT...
You suck!
...registered with the DOJ as a foreign agent.
Ha ha!
RT is now required to publicly disclose details about its funding and operations.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to mark certain content with labels.
Resist.
After Trump won, WikiLeaks asked to have Trump suggest that Australia appoint Assange ambassador of DC.
You can't make this crap up.
Resist.
BuzzFeed reported that the FBI is investigating 60 money transfers sent through Citibank accounts by the Russian Foreign Ministry, most with a note saying that money was to be used to finance the election campaign of 2016.
Why aren't we arresting people?
Resist.
The New York Times reported that Whitefish Energy billed PREPA in Puerto Rico $319 an hour for linemen, a rate 17 times higher than what is typical in Puerto Rico. Senior linemen coming from Florida to work in Puerto Rico were paid $100 or less. Power in Puerto Rico is spotty. almost 2 months after Hurricane Maria. Earlier in the week, 50% of the island had power, then a major transmission line failed, reducing it to 22%. Guess who repaired that line? Yeah, Whitefish Energy.
Of course they did.
Resist.
So a Texas woman, Karen Fonseca, made news for a Pick Up Trump bumper sticker with an expletive-filled message to Trump and his supporters. Fonseca said that she's been stopped by the police, but is exercising free speech. Well, on Wednesday, Sheriff Troy Niels posted a photo of the truck on Facebook and asked for information on the driver. The post was taken down on Thursday, but Fonseca was picked up for an outstanding warrant from August.
So free speech is no longer a thing, I guess.
Resist.
Breaking with tradition of nearly two decades, Donald will not meet with the 8 American Nobel laureates before they traveled to Sweden to receive their prizes. One honoree said she was relieved.
Resist.
On Thursday, the Department of Defense's Twitter account retweeted, then deleted, a post calling for Trump to resign. The chief spokesman tweeted, the account erroneously tweeted content that would not be endorsed.
Resist.
In an interview with Mother Jones, Hillary questioned the legitimacy of the 2016 election, citing Russian interference and voter suppression.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
In Wisconsin, voter suppression possibly impacted 45,000 voters. Donald won by 23,000 votes.
Yeah. Pretty sure that had an impact.
Resist.
Air Force General John Harton, a top U.S. nuclear commander of the Strategic Command, STRATOM, said that he would push back against Donald if he ordered a nuclear launch that the general believed to be illegal.
I provide advice to the president. He'll tell me what to do. And if it's illegal, guess what's going to happen?
You say no.
I'm going to say, Mr. President, it's illegal.
Which is some comfort.
Provided he gets to keep his job after making such a statement.
Resist.
The White House is blocking. Get this unapologetic act of corruption. The White House is blocking congressional oversight of travel spending. Of course, it was the exposure of the travel spending by former health secretary and white guy number one, Tom Price, that led to his resignation. Other cabinet members, including Energy Secretary white guy number two, Scott Pruitt, and Treasury Secretary, Bond villain white guy number three, Steven Mnuchin, also found themselves in trubs after questions about their travel expenses were raised. The House Oversight Committee, led by Representative Trey Gowdy and Representative Elijah Cummings, has been trying to review the administration's travel spending since September. They sent letters requesting information from the White House and 24 agency leaders. So far, only 13 agencies had provided a partial response. The committee has threatened both the Justice Department and Agriculture Department with subpoenas if they do not comply. The White House request, sent to Chief of Staff John Kelly, was sent back as unanswerable because, quote, not all the components in the Executive Office of the President, EOP, fell under the Chief of Staff's purview, unquote. Which is BS. That assertion directly contradicts the organizational chart as outlined on the White House website. The committee is now requesting all records from July 1st, 2016 to January 1st, 2017 in order to decide whether new policies or regulations need to be enacted, or perhaps to even change to the nature of appropriations awarded to agencies.
Resist.
So three Republicans in Wisconsin are doing something I totally approve of. Three Wisconsin Republicans have introduced a bill to lower the drinking age to 19. Republican Representative Joel Kelfish, a non-drinker, said he supported the measure. Quote, if you can sign up to give your life for this country, you should be able to have a beer. Unquote.
And damn right.
Resist.
So I'm sure everybody heard, but in South Dakota, where the original Keystone Pipeline ruptured last week and released 210,000 gallons of oil. And on Monday, Nebraska regulators, in their infinite wisdom, approved the Keystone XL pipeline to run through their state. So this clears the final hurdle for Donald's precious pipeline that has no benefit for the U.S. outside of 30-something jobs it creates.
But how, you ask? How could Nebraska regulators approve it so shortly after a spill? What are they thinking?
That's because you're smart. Well, the short answer is, it's Nebraska. But more importantly, Nebraska has a law that bars the regulators from considering spills or pipeline safety in its decision-making process.
Of course they do.
Oil spills can be devastating, and the new leak along the Keystone Pipeline should be taken seriously. The fact is, this is not the first spill in 2017. It is also not the worst. On January 30th, for instance, a road crew dug into an oil pipeline near Blue Ridge, Texas, spilling about 210,000 gallons. On April 25th, the pipeline spilled about 1,050 gallons of oil and salt water into the tributary of the Little Missouri River. And in October, a cracked pipeline south of Venice, Louisiana, spilled about 672,000 gallons into the Gulf of Mexico. These are just a handful of the spills this year.
Resist.
Nebraska's not the only backward state. In OK, Oklahoma, came this headline from Newsweek that did not pull any punches. Trump campaign coordinator and family values Republican pleads guilty to child sex trafficking, faces life in prison. Ralph Shorty, a former Oklahoma state senator and county campaign coordinator for Donald's campaign last year, will plead guilty to a child sex trafficking charge after being accused of soliciting sex from a 17-year-old boy in March. In exchange for his guilty plea, government prosecutors have agreed to drop three counts of child pornography against him. Child pornography! Suppose our dear president will be tweeting about this one?
No. I didn't think so.
Resist.
So our recently appointed federal regulator charged with overseeing pipeline safety personally profits from oil spill responses. A DSMOG investigation has found Drew Pierce as the acting administrator for the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, an agency in the Department of Transportation responsible for ensuring oil and gas pipeline integrity. However, she is also associated with a company specializing in the sale of oil spill equipment.
No, nothing to see here. Move along.
Since 2009, Pierce and her husband have owned Spill Shield Inc., an Anchorage-based company selling equipment for oil spill responses. So great.
Resist.
To end on a positive note, rates are down 36% at Donald's hotels.
Donald's brand is sinking. Nah, 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 nah,
nah, nah. Okay. Before I go, remember not to go shopping on Black Friday unless it is to a small business. Better yet, go to small businesses on Saturday for Small Business Saturday and stay home on Black Friday. Also, there is Giving Tuesday. On the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, shoppers take a break from their gift buying and donate what they can to charity. I will not be having a show on Friday. I am taking the time to reset with my family, and you should too. It is Thanksgiving this week. And I won't go into a whole dissertation about the whitewashed brutality of the true origins of this holiday. What I will say is this. Things are pretty dark, often scary, constantly infuriating, and of course, sad these days. Our country is turned on its head, and the tensions have not eased since last year in many homes, where family stands on different sides of the aisle. Many of us are glued to the news and our phones, and many of us can't bear to look, but worry regardless. At the beginning of this, around a year ago, I warned of outrage fatigue. Luckily, most people seem to be tuned in and activated, but the risks still exist. Use this holiday to turn off, to be in the moment and actually blur out the noise. Eat and don't calorie count. Love your family, even the ones that wear red hats. And if politics come up, be firm and change the subject. This day is not for that. There are many for that, but Thanksgiving is not one. Breathe. Slow down. Do what you have to do. The resistance needs us to take this day. I'm thankful for you. And I'm thankful to everyone who chooses to fight the good fight. So thank you. Thank you for listening. You can find my show on crabdiving.com, that's crabdiving.com, under the K-Voice tab. Or download my show as a podcast, wherever it is you get your podcast. You can also find my show on Citizen Truth at citizentruth.org. Catch Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile for all your progressive news 5 days a week on the Crab Diving Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice, and of course on Facebook for K-Voice of Resistance. Okay, take care of yourselves out there. Happy Thanksgiving. And as always, resist.
The hard part is in convincing Congress Puerto Rico matters, so their heart is in the fight for relief. Not a bailout, just relief. A belief that you can pass legislation to ease our grief. Paul Ryan, I'll come sing Hamilton at your house. I'll do-si-do with Pelosi. I'll wear my Hamilton blouse. Your citizens are suffering. Stop the bleeding. Stop the loss. Help Puerto Rico. It's just 100 miles across.
Resist!